Many of the commentaries remark regarding this week's Parsha, the opening of Sefer Shemot, Ve'ele Shemot B'nei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayma. And the question is that, grammatically speaking, the context of the Pasuk is wrong. What it should have said at the beginning of the Parsha is Ve'ele Shemot B'nei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayma, that they already came to Mitzrayim, which we know is true, and yet the Torah uses the words Habaim Mitzrayim, who are currently coming to Mitzrayim. Why is this? So there are a number of commentaries that offer various explanations. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, in a long discourse, discusses two very crucial points, each one coming from opposing directions. The first point that he discusses is the fact that when we look classically at Jewish history, Bnei Yisrael have always been Ba'im Mitzrayim. They've always been engaged in arriving in a place. In other words, no matter how many diasporas, how many exiles we've been cast into, and no matter how much there might be a conscious effort from Jews living in the various communities that they're thrown abroad, nonetheless, in those efforts to integrate and to be consciously attempt to be a part of society, society classically has never seen the Jew, in the end of the day, as part and parcel of their world. The Jew is always marked and scarred with being someone different. And therefore, the Mitzrim, regardless of the fact that Bnei Yaakov settled in Eretz Goshen, regardless of the fact that Yosef contributed and essentially saved the entire economy and the Egyptian Empire, still, after all of those experiences, after all of those years, after all of those challenges, and after all of those successes, Mitzrayim never saw Bnei Yisrael as an integral part of their society. They continued to be strangers in a strange land. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. As Avraham Avinu preceded and stated that we always would be, we'd attempt to be Toshavim, we'd attempt to be citizens of a foreign land, but we would always remain Gerim, strangers. We would never quite be included and seen as part of society. We would never be given full citizenship. We would always be seen as strange. Even this week, we look in the United States. Unfortunately, there was a decision made in Seattle, Washington, where I visited recently, by the King County Metro to advertise on their buses large banners which would say, Israeli war crimes, your tax dollars at work. The buses were targeted against, so to speak, Tzahal, the IDF war crimes in its efforts during Operation Cast Lead, going into Gaza, the war in Gaza, but it fails to precede these banners and to explain the reason why the IDF went into Gaza, which is so obvious to you and me. The obvious threat of thousands of Qassam rockets for 8 years prior to the IDF moving into the Gaza, the obvious threat against innocent civilians within the southern perimeter of the Negev, innocent cities and businesses which failed to flourish because of these Qassam rockets, which were produced and cast upon innocent civilians and cities as an act of terror. And yet, the King County Metro still advances these banners. Israeli war crimes, your tax dollars at work. The anti-Semitic forces in the United States are engaged in yet another demonization campaign of Israel. by running this ad on the eve of the second anniversary of Operation Cast Lead, when Israel had to respond to thousands of missiles fired from Gaza. And yet this is the attention that the community, or that the Jewish people and the Israeli people receive from a country that embraced and welcomed and introduced the concept of democracy to the world. From a country that allowed the Jewish community to flourish for so many years, nonetheless, regardless of the contributions that the Jewish people have given to the United States economy, regardless of the amount of influence that the Jewish people hold upon the United States politics and policies, nonetheless, in the end of the day, we are Jews. We are different. We are not considered Americans. We are Jewish Americans. Habaim Mitzrayimah. And yet Rav Soloveitchik says that on the other hand, the concept of Habaim Mitzrayimah, that we are always coming to Mitzrayim, that we are never quite settled, that we are never quite part of the country, is a good thing. That is the way it should be. It is because Bnei Yaakov came to Mitzrayim and never insisted and never succeeded, or perhaps never attempted, to be fully part of Israeli, or Egyptian rather, empire, to be part of Egyptian philosophy, of their society, to take part of their culture in a wholehearted way. The Ba'im Mitzrayimah, the fact that we are always coming to Mitzrayim and not completely settled, that's what allows us to remain who we are. That's precisely what gives us the strength to continue with the resilience and to proceed to concretize an identity regarding what it means to be a Jew. Recently I heard that there are a number of efforts and attempts being made by all denominations of Judaism, Orthodoxy, Conservative, Reform, to bring those Jews who have intermarried out of our faith, to bring them closer to the fold. There are families who are considered, perhaps from an Orthodox perspective, not necessarily or halachically Jewish, because of the fact that perhaps relatives of theirs married out from the Jewish faith, and nonetheless they express interest in understanding their Jewish roots. And from what I hear, there are efforts being made even by the Orthodox denomination to embrace these people, to give them direction, and perhaps to bring them closer to the fold, even if that means having to undergo a conversion. But the point is that in the end of the day, no matter how much intermarriage there is, no matter how much unfortunate threats there are to disturb and destroy our identity, the Jew will always remain the Jew because of the fact that we are Ba'im Mitzrayimah, that we never quite settle in a foreign land, that we know very well that on top of our heads there is a label which makes us different. The Gemara in Megillah confirms this point. The Talmud tells us, "Im yomar lecha adam chokhma bagoyim ta'amin, Torah bagoyim al ta'amin." The Gemara classically differentiates between the concept of chokhma, of wisdom, of knowledge, of technology, of advancement, that the Gemara says Jewish people can have and can learn from the goyim, from Gentiles, from foreigners, from foreign nations. That's not a problem. But there's one mark that makes us consistently different than anyone else. Torah b'goyim al ta'amin. If someone tells you that the goyim have Torah, do not believe them. Torah is unique and specifically gifted to the Jewish people. That's what preserves our identity. And so in a sense, what Rav Soloveitchik is expressing is that the prosecutor that may very well be seen as causing us problems by the fact that we're never viewed as part of society, at the same time, that prosecutor really serves as our savior. Because it is precisely that point that serves in preserving our identity. We as a Jewish people are expected to proactively initiate our preservation. And the question is, how do we not only respond to Abayim Mitzrayma by the fact that the Goyim do not accept us, but how do we positively initiate Habayim Mitzrayma, demonstrating that we are not interested in being part of a foreign society, that we do recognize that we are indeed different. This, the Torah and this week's Parsha addresses as well. In Perek Bet Pasuk Aleph, the Torah opens up immediately after Perek Aleph, when we just read Habayim Mitzrayma. The beginning of Perek Bet is a response to Habayim Mitzrayma, the fact that we are always coming to Mitzrayim. How do we preserve the fact that we are never quite completely accepted and part of society? Perek Bet Pasuk Aleph, Vayelech Ish Mi Beit Levi, Vayikach Et Bat Levi. Says the Torah, a man left from Beit Levi. We all know that this is referring to Amram, who went to marry Yocheved, and yet he's referred to as Beit Levi, the house of Levi. Why? Says Rav Soloveitchik, when we refer to Batim, to a bayit, a house, a home, we are referring to salvation. We are referring to an institution. We are referring to a fundamental that allows us to preserve who we are. Amram is called Beit Levi because he's establishing the future preservation of Jewish identity. And regardless of the fact that the vast majority of the percentage of the Jewish people who were in Mitzrayim attempted to integrate and intermarry into the Egyptian empire and subscribe to the immorality and the impurity of what the Egyptian empire had to offer them, nonetheless, in the end of the day, Beit Levi remains standing. The house that allows for those institutions to exist. The house of Chinuch, the house of Torah, the house of Mitzvot, the house of Hashem. As it says, classically says Rav Soloveitchik over and over again throughout Tanakh, Beit Aharon Bitchu BaHashem. The house of Aharon represents an institution. Beit Yaakov Lechu VeNelcha. The house of Jacob will continue to persist and to walk forward, to proceed. And so on, we see as well, on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol, who does he atone for? V'chiper be'ado uve'ad beito, for himself and for his bayit. Chazal say, beito zu ishto. It's referring to his wife, but beito is also referring to the entire concept of what a man and his wife establish. Kedusha, sanctity, divinity, Hashem's presence within that institute as well. And therefore says Rav Soloveitchik, Vayelech ish mi beit levi, vayikach et bat levi. Hare hamedubar hu bebitui shel hitnagdut, bepoal lemedinyuto shel paro. This demonstrates that there was an aggressive discard and discharge the Jewish people from the way and the diplomacy and the way of Paro and the way that he conducted his empire. Ilulei ha-Yehudim ha-Mi'atim ha-Ele, were it not for these few Jews, like Amram, Yocheved, Miriam, Aaron, Beit Aaron b'tchu ba-Hashem, Beit Levi, Beit Yisrael b'tchu ba-Hashem, lo haita yitziat Mitzrayim efsharit b'chlal, then the entire exodus from Egypt would never have taken place. We would never have been Zoche. And so on we see in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chof Aleph, when we are first introduced to the Mialdot, to the maidens, the women, Yocheved and Miriam, who assisted in the childbirth of the Jewish children. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chof Aleph, right before we see that Amram establishes the Bayit, Vayihi ki yahu amialdot et ha'elohim. These women were commanded by Paro to kill the sons of the Jewish people who were born. They feared not Paro, but Hashem. Vayas lahem batim. What did they establish in order to preserve, to instill this fear, in order to give them the resilience to stand up to the mighty Paro? They made batim. Says Rashi, which batim did they establish? Batei kihuna veleviya umalchut shekruyin batim. They were rewarded with which bayit? The house, not the house of a structure, not a physical being, not a physical structure, but a spiritual entity. The entity of the priesthood, Kehuna, Leviya, Malchut, the great kingdom of the Messiah, of Eretz Yisrael, of Am Yisrael, which would represent the salvation of the Jewish people. Says Rav Soloveitchik, which batim are these referring to? Batim letipuach hayahadut v'dorot ha-hemshech. These were the houses that allowed Judaism to develop, to spread, to be accentuated. And these were ultimately the houses that allowed the future of Jewish generations to survive. In the end of the day, the ultimate bayit, the ultimate safe haven and home that Am Yisrael had, are represented by its institutions of Torah, but it's also the home that we have in a physical and spiritual sense combined, Eretz Yisrael. That's the home, that's the bayit which belongs to us. The uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael is that there are no such banners which are placarded across the buses in Eretz Yisrael, because it's our home. It belongs to us. We know what is politically correct for the Jewish people, and that is that we are different. That's why our land is instituted and is led differently than other parts of the world. That's why the world look at our bayit, our home, both in terms of what it represents and in terms of where it is and what it is. They look at it differently. The bayit of a Jew is Eretz Yisrael. As it says in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Chof Bet, Shir HaMa'alot LeDavid, Samachti Be'omrim Lei, Beit Hashem Nelech. I was overcome with joy when they said that I would walk within the house of God. Where is the house of God? The next pasuk ensues. Omdot hayu ragleinu b'she'arayich Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is our bayit. Those are the batim. Vayas lahem batim. The bayit ultimately of the Jewish people is the bayit of Kedusha, where divinity resides, the land of Eretz Yisrael. How many times I find myself speaking at various engagements to various crowds and congregations throughout the diaspora. And as classically is acceptable by a rabbi, when I finish my speech, I'll many times say innocently, and I hope sincerely, that I anticipate the Geula, our redemption, when all of the Jewish people will be able to come to their bayit, their home, when all of us will en masse join together in Eretz Yisrael, our homeland. And people look at me strangely, as if I'm saying a foreign concept. And I've had people come over to me after the speech and they say, Rabbi, do you honestly mean what you say? Do you honestly believe that ultimately we all have to go to Eretz Yisrael? And I look at them back and I say, well, I certainly hope so. I don't know where else a Jew can call home, his bayit, his house. Many of my Talmidim, who are all Israeli, they express to me how they cannot understand how strange it is for them that Jews, or all the Jews, are not living in Eretz Yisrael, in their bayit. This is their home. Well, I ask you, Rabotai, who's right? The honest person, the sincere person, knows the answer. They know where our house should be, where our home and our future can be built as a people with our institutions. And we all anticipate, if we're honest and sincere with one another, arriving home to the true home, and will be zoche as one to proclaim, Omdot hayu raglenu b'sha'arayich Yerushalayim.